Good morning.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Can't complain.
Yeah?
Yep, I'm here.
What do you want to complain about? You sound like you wanted to.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can't complain.
Traffic on Osuna.
Oh, okay, traffic update. It sucks, even at this time of the morning.
Dude, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
And it's down to one lane over your Osuna and Jefferson area. You can't make lefts anywhere.
No lefts.
Like, anywhere.
Nope.
So, and you can't make sneaky rights into, like, gas stations to cut through.
Nope.
Like, cut time and...
Totally.
Yeah.
Prohibited that, because they knew that was going to happen.
They knew that's what I did. So traffic over in this area is awful. So for some reason you were wanting to come visit us or bring us donuts this morning because you love us.
I'm so hungry now.
Just start leaving early.
Yeah, because you can still totally do that.
Oh, happy Thursday, everybody. Don't forget, coming up 9 o'clock this morning, Mitch's favorite guest, Jarrett.
Yes.
Pastor Jarrett.
He's a great guy.
From Calvary Knob Hill.
Yeah.
You know. You love him so much because he's Kelly's boss, and so you have to.
Because he's awesome.
Yeah, right.
Because he's a great guy.
So, that's
why.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So, anyways. Yeah, he's coming up at 9 o'clock for Theology Thursday. You can throw us questions now, actually. Studio at mystaticradio.com. If you'd like to get some in. This is not my stool.
I know. I'm like, when are you going to realize that that's not where you sit?
You know what?
No.
So, anyways.
What in the world?
It is Thursday morning.
And it's going to be a bad day, I can tell.
Why?
Because of you.
Wow, I'm in a fantastic mood,
at
least I was. Watch this. Boom, static.
It's Matthew from Albuquerque.
I know. I had your music queued up and everything.
How are you guys doing?
Dude, I'm fantastic. How are you?
Good.
I'm doing pretty good. This is, you know what this means, guys? Is there's one more day left. Until that sweet spring break.
Ah, that's right. That's right.
Nice.
Yes, and you know what, guys? That. Actually, I'm going to be going out of town, too, so.
What?
Where are you going?
I'm going to Laughlin, Nevada.
Ah, yes. The magical land of Laughlin, where the milk flows like honey.
You guys are hilarious.
Spring break. You know... Growing up, that's all I ever wanted to do.
Go to Laughlin, Nevada?
Yeah, absolutely.
Nevada?
Yeah.
Cool.
You know what, Steve-O, guys? I'll still try to give you guys a call since, you know, I mean, I can listen to you guys on the, you know, internet, mysacradio.com.
Yes.
Yes, you can.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll still listen in to you guys, just that, you know, I'll try to make the phone call before I leave the hotel.
That'd be good.
Because if I, you know, leave the hotel to get on the interstate, you know.
Yeah.
You know how the signal is. I mean, I could lose the signal easily.
Yeah.
It's true.
Don't forget about daylight savings this weekend, buddy.
Yeah. Spring forward.
Yes. Spring forward.
Yeah, I know
we
you're
lose
confused.
An hour.
You've always been confused about that.
I have.
It's really
funny. Yeah, you know what, Steve-O, guys? I won't be leaving until Wednesday, so, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll be here.
Oh, okay. Sweet, man. So what can we play for you this morning?
Ooh, this morning I would throw up some Fall Goliath Fall by Project 86.
All right, some P86. We will definitely get that on for you. All right, man.
Okay, have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Matthew from Albuquerque.
You know what I always wonder, and it's probably okay, but I always wonder, does he hear these songs as we play them for him?
I don't know.
Because we do every single time.
So we're springing forward on Sunday.
Yes. I think it's funny that you're always confused about that. What is wrong with you?
I hate this thing! It took all of 3 days.
And you even, like, made impulse
weird.
Decisions about
like,
it.
Touch it!
I don't know.
It's, like, coarse and weird now.
Yeah, I'm not going to touch it. Did you wash it today?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't put stuff in it. I even, like, shampooed it and conditioned it because I was like, dude, this is starting to feel like a little bristle. What are those things called? Brillo pad?
Brillo pad.
On my face!
You need a trim, yo. Look at this.
Whoa. There's no trimming. It's March. It's like March mustache madness. And since I can actually grow a real mustache...
Okay, fine. Have fun eating your mustache.
I'm going to. Delicious.
Good, because it has all the food from last night.
Yeah.
On it.
Yeah, it's pretty awful. I need to, like, get a little...
Oh, what?
I don't know. Stop it, Owl. I'm talking. So anyways, Bambi Owl trying to talk over me.
I know. Anyone trying to talk over you.
Oh, man. So anyways, happy Thursday, everybody.
Happy Thursday. Oh, wow. It's
Spring
Thursday. Spring forward this weekend.
Which means Monday we're going to be an hour late.
No. I have to deal with it right away because I have to be here on Sunday.
Ah, yes. So Monday no. I will be an hour late. Not really.
Yeah, really.
We'll see what happens.
Okay.
This one going out to...
I don't remember what he said.
Matthew. From Albuquerque.
That's for him, Project 86.
Steve-O and Mitch.
In the morning.
Static Radio. The classic crime. Glass houses.
That's new stuff.
Static Radio, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Oh, good. What are you why are you talking like this?
That's my new voice. I'm going to start using that regularly.
Is that your sports casting voice?
No.
Is that what it's called, sports casting?
I don't have a good sports casting voice.
Oh,
Stever does. Hey, Stever. Hey, Stever.
Hey.
Hey, did you happen to catch that game last night?
I did.
Good, tell me about it, because I don't
Tony
have that channel.
Tony Snell had a Air Jordan moment.
No way!
Someone said, you know what, we don't feel like blocking the lane or anything.
Yes.
And he just said, raw.
He really said that.
Yeah.
He probably did.
Tony Snell had 25 points last night to lead the New Mexico Lobos.
I think he's my second favorite.
Over Nevada, 75-62. 75-62 in Nevada.
That's really good.
Yes. Yeah. One of the CBS announcers last night after the game said, you know, something to the effect, you know, when is someone going to start looking at now? They've made a legitimate bid for number one.
Yes.
Not a number one ranking, but a number one seed.
Yep. It'd be incredible.
Yeah. Right now, I was looking at ESPN. The guy in ESPN's bracketology has New Mexico at a 3, which is probably more realistic. You know, everyone's saying 2 already.
Yeah.
And you know, I would agree. I mean, they're a great defensive team.
Yeah.
You know, they just seem to find a way to win no matter who they play. But just the no respect thing.
Yeah.
You know. But we had like 3 or 4 guys in double digits.
Amazing.
I mean, Cameron was in double digits. Alex was in double digits. Tony, obviously, was in double digits. I don't know if...
Hugh or Kendall?
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows?
Who is number 53?
Colorado State.
No, I promise you there's someone on the Lobo team.
Oh, number 53?
Yes.
That's Alex Kirk.
Okay, I couldn't figure it out.
Were you thinking of, like, ranking?
No! I was talking about dude with the jersey with that number on.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of hard to miss.
Yeah. Well, okay. That's Alex.
Why?
I just couldn't remember his name.
No.
Sorry. Okay. I was educating everyone else.
But you remember number 21.
Yes. Tony Snow.
Wow.
And number 3, Hugh.
Ah, all right. Who's number 10?
Number 10 is...
You can do this.
Dang it. I know who it is. I know who it is. It's...
Hey, while she's thinking...
Jamal.
No.
Who's number 10?
Kendall Williams.
Yes. Number 41?
So anyway, talking...
Number 41? No! We've already said him. Come on, you can do it. He's another Aussie.
Boy.
He's another Aussie.
He's got a beautiful shot.
Cameron Bairstow.
So anyway, Steve-O.
Yeah.
First half, yesterday,
yeah.
Coach played 10 players.
Wow.
Including Corey Alford.
Nice.
Yeah, Banyard saw time in the first half.
And he got an assist.
Yeah.
Corey Alford did. Alex Kirk had 11 points. Tony Snell, 25. Kendall Williams, 10. Cam had 15. So four Lobos in double digits.
Yeah.
Which is good.
You know, I think yesterday what he was doing was getting everyone ready for tournament play. You know, a lot of guys haven't seen a lot of time and getting maybe a little rusty. You'll get some game time in there. So Lobos headed into... Las Vegas here in about a week or so?
Yeah.
They still have a game, though, Saturday.
Yeah, we're playing Air Force up in Colorado. So.
Air Force. One.
We got that, bro.
Just went out.
We got that, bro.
Well done, coach.
Yeah.
Woof, woof, woof.
There we go. Lobos.
So proud of them.
Yeah, good stuff. All All right. It is Thursday, March 7th. Are you ready for this?
It's Thursday Snooze Day.
Do you have boring stuff?
I don't know. We're about to find out.
All right.
I'd rather. Breaking news. Is it all getting too much? Is your thinking crooked? Your logic frazzled and your every wire crossed?
Yes. Were you asking me?
No, this was rhetorical.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Yes. No.
Breaking news. Perhaps it's time to go and cut yourself off from the phone and internet. No, not metaphorically, but literally.
No.
That was allegedly the slightly illegal thought process of Raymond Bischoff of Hastings, Minnesota.
Hold on. I'm not done, sir.
This 65-year-old allegedly thought it was best to cut the wires and cables that happened to connect a local business to the internet, the phone service, and even the satellite TV because he wanted to relieve the pressure on his brain. Bischoff didn't work at the business, but he did live there. It's a local hotel.
Okay, I'm like, wait, what?
He admitted to cutting the wires and cables on as many as 3 separate occasions with a small blade. One question, though, appears to get to be asked. When he allegedly cut the wires and cables, did his brain feel any better? Dun, dun, dun.
I used to tell me I could have given you.
Sorry, it's okay.
Sorry. Here.
Hey, can you give me that dun, dun, dun? Oh, it's closer to the end. Next.
Like that?
No, you're being obnoxious now. You're being annoying. Because it wasn't on. Next. Ready? Breaking news! Want to be Pizza Hut's social media manager? Then you better be able to market yourself well in 140 seconds. That's precisely how long interviews for the position will last during South by Southwest in Austin this week.
Wow.
The way the pizza chain figures it is if anyone can sell herself in 140 seconds, they can easily sell the company in Twitter's 140 characters or less format.
That'd be the most stressful job interview ever.
Yeah.
140 seconds?
Yeah.
All right, tell me why you should continue to be my co-host in 140 seconds. Go.
I'm me. I'm better than you. I'm cooler than you. Mm-hmm. I'm younger than you. Mm-hmm. I'm a girl. You need a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And because I can't make that joke.
And you win. All right, good. All right. Good job. Everything that you were supposed to say, you said.
Okay.
This is true. You forgot. You dress better.
I dress better than you. I smell better than you.
Yes, this is also true.
I have better hygiene. I brush my teeth.
You have better taste in music than me.
Better taste in music than you.
What else?
My husband's a pastor.
Uh-huh. That has nothing to do with anything.
Well, I thought I'd throw it in there.
Oh, okay. Steamer.
I'll say that joke, Mitch.
What is it?
No one else would put up with him.
Yeah, besides your wife.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah. She has to.
Yeah, she has another job. She did not apply for this one. I don't know if you noticed.
Oh, thanks, guys. This is killer show this morning.
Encouraging.
Starting off really well.
Yep.
All right, sweet.
Breaking news! I'm quitting.
I'm just going to go.
You got to say you're not.
No. I'm not quitting. I'm not really.
Because people will think you are.
No, they won't.
Okay.
I'll never leave.
Breaking news! An ongoing feud between a Long Island man and his neighbor reached a boiling point last month when the neighbor phoned the police to complain that the man was laughing too loudly.
Wow.
Robert received 2 tickets for disturbing the peace, each of which carries a penalty of $250 or 15 days in jail. His neighbor... Wait, no. Schiavelli, who lives with his mother due to neurological problems... You're gonna have to start this over. Here's me. Okay. No, but breaking news! Schiavelli, who lives with his mother due to neurological problems and frequent seizures, says his next-door neighbor, Daniel, regularly taunts him over his disability and he uses laughter as a way to fight back. He wouldn't speak with the Post, but his wife said the tickets proved the police found there was a cause.
Wow.
This sounds like the most ridiculous thing in the world.
Yeah. It's going to be a reality TV show in like 3 weeks.
Yeah. For about 3 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. He was laughing.
Reality TV show.
I called the cops. Now he has a ticket.
Sadly, that would probably make it a reality TV show. Not a good one, just it would make it to television. Because anything can make it to television these days.
Yeah. They have Mob Wives.
Yeah.
What else?
Somebody was telling me last night there's a Whisker Wars show. And it's seriously about, like, Whisker rad Wars. Mustaches and stuff.
And cats.
No, like your... or
and the best cat food.
That's, like, seriously what it's called. Something like that. Like, Whiskers. It was about mustaches. Whiskers. Like, awesome mustaches, and apparently I needed to watch it to get, like, ideas.
Soup lame.
Did you just say soup's lame?
Soup's lame.
Wow. At least you said lame, the full word.
Breaking news! A French woman's German shepherd stopped her from committing suicide by knocking aside the rifle she tried to fire into her heart.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm going to read this. The 63-year-old woman planned to kill herself when she walked into the garden of her home in southeastern France with her dog. She fired several test shots of a .22 caliber rifle to ensure that it was working before she turned it onto her chest. At the moment she pulled the trigger, her dog jumped on her and diverted the shot. The woman was conscious and suffering from a chest wound, but she was found by her husband, taken to the hospitals, and her injuries are not considered to be life-threatening. What I wonder is who reported this.
What do you mean?
Like, who reported this?
Like,
oh, my dog saved my life. But really, was the dog just jumping on her, like, wanting to play, or...
Wow.
Or was the
way
dog,
to ruin, like,
trying
like,
to
a
save?
Really good story. Could have been, like, possibly good. I'm diverting attention away from you. Ah! They hang up.
At what age is childhood over? Officially, it's 12.
Really?
There you go. 3/4 of parents in a recent survey said that childlike qualities are being lost before their kids get into their teenage years. Why? Because of terrible things and celebrity culture, says mom and dads. 89% of parents say our society is forcing children to mature too fast.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Breaking news! The bingo hall is pretty much the last place you'd expect to see the cops roll up and the blue lights flashing. Now try telling that to 72-year-old woman who got punched in the lunch line by a feisty 80-year-old bingo opponent.
The blue hair's got the blue lights called?
Yes.
And the blue shirt showed up?
Yes. Apparently the younger of the two was eager to get back to her game and she was urging the 80-year-old to get a move on. When that didn't work... To hurry the octogenarian. What is that? What is that word?
Oh.
She resorted to name calling and then came the punches.
This is boring.
No, it's not.
Static! Good morning.
Good morning. I got a song request. Red, Feed the Machine.
Feed the Machine. There it is.
Thanks.
Thank you for the call.
Hold on.
What?
I think I might have one more.
Really? That's unfortunate.
Breaking news! I'm going to read whatever I want because I didn't pre-read this. I don't want to read it anymore.
Okay, fine.
Thank you.
There you go. That's your Thursday snooze day.
It was really boring.
Yeah, it was terrible. Good job. That's what you were going for, so.
Snooze.
Whisker Wars.
Whisker
I got to go find it. Thebes has seen it. It's real.
Unfortunate.
Steve-O and Mitch.
In the morning.
Static Radio. A band in Kansas. Guess what that song's called?
Turn It to Gold.
Yeah. Oh. Yes. Good job. It is March 7th.
That's right. Today is March 7th. And a lot of people were born on this day.
Were there? Really?
A lot of people. And
I feel like it's been days since I actually have gotten any right.
Today could be your day.
505-338-3700 if anybody would like to guess along with me.
And it can be your lifeline.
Oh, I like that.
Okay. First up, TV weather personality, Willard Scott.
Yes.
I mean, he's been around for a while. This
Is that
guy.
A hint?
No.
83.
79.
Man.
From Captain Frank Furillo.
Uh-huh.
In Hill Street Blues, Daniel Travanti.
I don't even know who Daniel Travanti is.
Just
Static!
I have no clue who Daniel Travanti is, but I wanted to try to give you a help.
Okay,
he gets to guess, and then I get to guess, too.
Okay.
And if one of us gets it right, we get the...
Daniel Travanti, how old is he?
So, his first name, his last name, rather, starts with a T, and that's one of the most, like, used letters in the English alphabet.
Yeah.
One of the six, you know, when you're doing Wheel of Fortune,
RSTLNE. RSTLNE, yes. Yeah. Watch out last night.
I'm going to guess that he is 60.
Ooh.
Okay.
I'm going to go high. I'm going to shoot high then.
Okay.
83. That's my go-to old guy answer.
Oh, my gosh. He's 73.
Ah!
Oh, you were so close, Steve-O.
You were too. We were like right in the middle. If this were
no, you did a good job.
The Price is Right, you would have won because I overshot it.
Yeah, you would have won.
You were way more realistic. I was like the young kid who has no idea. So you're all like, oh,
you're too
sweetheart, you know. Like,
amazing. All right.
We still would have won Price is Right.
Thanks for trying to help me. Thanks.
Thank you.
We tried. All right.
You still would have won Price is Right.
It's like my son, who's 9, and Kelly said, how old do you think I am? Your husband.
Yeah. And he got my age because it was my birthday party.
Right.
He's like, you're 25.
Yeah. Yay, good
And
job.
So how old is my husband?
15.
Awesome. Awesome.
Is that Jack or Luke?
That was Jack.
That was Jack.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
And then he guessed someone else, like, totally, like, correct, who didn't look like she was this age.
Yeah.
So, that's funny. John Hurd, dad in Home Alone,
yeah.
CSI Miami.
Oh, yeah. He was the blonde girl's dad in CSI Miami.
Oh.
56.
68.
68?
Yeah, he's almost 70.
Wow! Okay.
From, how do you say this, the Jay Giles Band? Jay Giles, Giles Band?
All right.
Peter Wolf.
74?
67.
Man! This is the worst. I don't know any of these people. Give me somebody interesting that I know.
That's, hold on. Just, right, you know what? Hold on. Oz the Great and Powerful, The Brothers Bloom, The Mummy, Rachel Weisz.
Hey! You know who her husband is?
Totally.
Daniel Craig.
Oh, okay.
Rachel Weisz.
I didn't know that.
Do you know who she is, though?
No, I know who she is now.
Yeah, okay. Man, so I don't want to go too high, because this is like James Bond's wife. You
yes.
know, you don't want to like insult James Bond's wife.
Right.
40? 40.
What's your final answer?
37. 42. I'm going to go with 40.
She's 43.
No! Man!
From the Green Lantern, an education, also married to Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Skarsgård. What's his name?
Peter Sarsgaard.
Okay, I need help with this one. Caller.
Yeah.
Okay.
How old is Peter Sarsgaard?
How old is Peter Sarsgaard? You can do it. I believe in you.
Don't stress out.
Or Google it.
34.
Okay, and what's your guess?
I'm going to go high because you crinkled your nose when he said third, which means he's not in his 30s. He's in his 40s. He is 43.
Dude, he's
42. No!
Oh.
No! Benjamin Dunn in the Animal Orchestra. My name is Eustace. Kicking off your 7 o'clock hour. Good morning!
My name is Mitch.
I am Steve-O.
Okay, I'm just saying
this. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
I see what you did there.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just skipped it. So Tuesday, we talked about this. Taco Bell posted a message on their Facebook page to their 9.8 million fans.
Yes.
That their highly anticipated Cool Ranch Doritos Locos Taco would be available the following day, March 6th.
Yes.
A day earlier than all the commercials had said. The post got liked 92,000 times.
That's a lot of people looking forward to that.
And yesterday, March 6th, thousands of people flooded local Taco Bells trying to get their hands on the Cool Ranch Doritos Locos Taco because, well, we're a really unhealthy obese nation.
Yeah.
Here's where it goes awry. Taco Bell forgot to actually get them in their stores.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah. They weren't available yesterday, like they promised to their 9.8 million Facebook fans. And so, of course, people returned to Facebook in droves to respond to said message. You can go check it out yourself. I can't read most of them on
Uh-oh.
The air. One person said, quote, "I've never been more angry in my life." Which made me really, really happy that my life isn't that bad. That the worst thing, or the thing that makes me the angriest, is a Cool Ranch Doritos Loco Taco. But really, no, people are saying things like that. I've never been more angry in my life. Because their local Taco Bell didn't have a really overhyped disgusting taco flavor in stock.
It's going to be...
And that made you more angry than you've ever been in your entire life up to that point.
Whatever.
Because of a Cool Ranch
I don't
want to
hear you talking
shell.
About this.
Yeah.
About people over-exaggerating.
A Taco Bell spokesperson yesterday said that, quote, the early delivery was only at participating restaurants.
What? Are you kidding me? They can't put that out on the news or on their Facebook as everywhere and then say, oh, by the way, it doesn't...
Yeah. Oh, by the way, participating restaurants... Which means none, but we just want to not be in trouble with everybody because we totally royally messed up on Facebook.
Whoopsie.
So, good job, Taco Bell. Posting the message. Allegedly, they're supposed to be available today, but that's just nasty.
I wonder if they deleted that Facebook comment status.
You know, I'm doing a message this weekend at my church. I get to guest speak, and we're going through the different temples. This week is the Temple of Pleasure I'm talking about. And one of the idols is food. And I was doing some research this week. Dude, did you know this year, Americans are going to spend $110 billion on fast food alone?
That's disgusting.
On fast food alone, $110 billion. More than we're going to spend, this is estimated, of course, but more than we're going to spend on newspapers, magazines, movies, music.
Wow.
All these, yeah, yeah.
That's really
fast
upsetting.
Food.
So know that, just
fast
remember,
food.
Every time you go get fast food, like even though it's like once every other week, you're contributing to that.
Are you talking about me?
Yeah, just anyone. Well, you mostly. Talking to you specifically right now, but anyone.
I try not to. I'm trying desperately not to. I try and go home. I try and make like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I've been trying to like, or eat leftovers from dinner the night before. That's been a good one because that's also free.
I've been eating leftovers for lunch for like the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm trying! But, yeah, $110 billion. Think about that.
Wow.
Yep.
That's disgusting.
So there you go. People were getting ready to riot the streets over a Taco Bell Doritos Loco Cool Ranch.
I don't know what to say about that.
I gotta be honest, I was never even a fan of the Cool Ranch Doritos. Because let's be honest, dude, they're gonna make your breath like, funky! They're nasty.
Get out of my life.
Cool Ranch Doritos?
Get out of my life. I no longer want you in my life. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to even remember you. I'm blocking you out now.
Were you the person that posted on Facebook yesterday that you've never been more angry in your life? Because it seems that either that's you or you need to meet this person because you guys are peas in a pod. Which brings me to the next song.
Chips in a bag. Peas in a pod.
Echoing Green. Song's called Cry Baby. I think it was written for you. Steve-O and Mitch. In the morning. Static Radio.
This is Culture Shock. For more, log on to mystaticradio.com.
Whatever. 7:41 now.
Why whatever?
Happy Thursday. Whatever.
You're so emo today.
Welcome to Steve-O and Mitch. Coming up in about 19 minutes, our dear friend Clay Schroff from the Aspen Project joining us. We have something pretty crazy to talk about with him this morning.
Yes, we do.
Planned Parenthood.
Being crazy.
Yeah.
That's what they're being. Straight up crazy.
Some interesting things hitting the world today, the World Wide Web. So we'll talk about that with Clay. Also, coming up at 9 o'clock, Pastor Jarrett Petro.
That's right.
Campus pastor of Calvary Knob Hill at the Lobo Theater. He'll be joining us at 9 o'clock for Theology Thursday.
That can be like an open line type thing, too, if you have questions for him.
Yeah. So there you go. It's going to be...
pretty amazing.
It's pretty cool.
Fantastic. It's pretty cool.
Exactly. So, I was reading this article right now, coming from ABC World News, actually. And this study at Carnegie Mellon University found Facebook privacy changes ended up causing users to reveal more.
Mm-hmm.
There were different privacy rules that went into effect with Facebook. And since then, people have been sharing more personal information online than ever before, according to a 7-year study from Carnegie Mellon University. The social network made changes to its user interface and settings. And because of that, people, I guess, believe that things are more private. They feel more private, but are willing to share just about anything these days on the web.
Yeah, and actually, researchers at Stanford University said that Facebook postings reach a much larger audience than you think, about 4 times larger than you think. So you get like 1 like, but that so many other people saw this.
Right, and you think that either nobody's paying attention, nobody cares, or I don't know why people feel the need to share the anythings and everythings, even something like Instagram.
Yeah.
Looking at Instagram, if I'm out somewhere, there's that part of me that's like, I gotta take a picture of where I'm at. I'm gonna tag this, and I'm gonna be over here, and then everybody's gonna know what I'm doing right now, and know that I'm not home, so they can totally rob me.
Yeah,
Right? It's true!
No, I know. And I think Jodie Foster was trying to talk about this or something.
Was she?
But then,
was she?
Then I don't know if she was talking about her sexual preference. I don't know what she was talking about.
I'm trying to figure out what she was trying to say at the Golden Globes, because it made little to no sense.
So something about privacy and how we aren't keeping things private, but then she was on stage sharing her private...
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So, but...
It was all ironic.
But, okay, so... All this Facebook stuff is happening, and people who signed up for it a long time ago kind of forgot what they put in their about section and information. My husband is a youth pastor.
Yeah.
He works with high schoolers every day of the week, and not too long ago, a girl totally started texting him out of nowhere, like a high school girl, and we're like, who is this? And it turns out it's a girl that he met at the high school ministry.
Uh-huh.
He had his phone number on Facebook for the entire world.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I just got it off of Facebook. He's like, yeah, this isn't okay. You can't be texting me.
Right.
So it was like, BT Dubs, take your phone number off of Facebook. It's so weird to know that I have people's phone numbers.
Right.
It's so weird.
Yeah. Part of the reason why I'm not a Facebook person.
Yeah, I don't.
Because I'm kind of weird about that.
Yeah.
Weird about privacy. And I feel like reading this article, it validates a little bit. But the question is, do we share too much? Are we giving off too much information? I know, in certain arenas we talk about, Nate Heitzig, when we were doing Shock Therapy Live, talking about marriage and how we need to be transparent in that arena, in that area of our life. Be completely honest. Be transparent with one another. And yet I feel like we are totally, quote unquote, transparent with everyone, but we're not really saying anything.
Yeah.
Are we?
No, I actually, on my Instagram, I have to find this because I thought I was being funny.
505-338-3700, the phone number, by the way. If you'd like to chime in on talking about Facebook and or
Facebook, social media.
Yeah.
Like you were talking about taking pictures so people can see where you are.
Right.
And I feel like Instagram and even Facebook, they're just status updates and picture updates to like make other people jealous of your life.
Right.
And so on my Instagram, on the little tag, I put, I take pictures because I just want to be jealous of myself sometimes. Because like seriously, it's like, oh, you're always out and about. You're always doing something. No, half the time I'm sitting in my living room watching TV.
We should take an Instagram fast.
I have been. That's like the first time I've opened Instagram.
Really?
All day. Nope. Yeah, yesterday I had to because I was on the static radio Instagram. That's not fair.
That doesn't count. Well, we can't delete it because we got to use it for static radio.
Right.
Too.
I can't delete it. I've been through this.
Maybe we take a fast. Who knows?
Okay.
I don't know. Facebook.com/mystaticradio if you'd like to chime in about us not being on Facebook so much. Or, of course, 505-338-3700. Interesting thoughts from ABC News about privacy and the things that we are willing to share. And again, this study came from Carnegie Mellon University, a 7-year study. And according to this study, Facebook users may try to guard their privacy, but in fact, they're unwittingly sharing more personal information online than they ever have. Researchers used data from 5,076 Facebook users in the university's network to study how privacy and disclosure evolved from 2005 to 2011. It went with Facebook's shift from being a public place to one that's, more and more and more private.
Mm-hmm.
users can choose their audience these days. And I think because of that, if you're set to quote-unquote private, you're willing to share more information.
Right.
But according to this study, more people are being more active, but they're doing it in ways that allow them to interact more directly with the audience they intended to. So,
right.
I don't know.
And again, researchers at Stanford University say that your postings are reaching a much larger audience than you think, about four times more than you think. And we've read a few studies. I wonder how much money is being wasted on these studies about social media.
Right. Yeah, this study said nearly the same thing. The study found social media users underestimate their reach, guessing their audience is just about 27% of its actual size.
Yeah.
So, yeah, about one-fourth.
So, we read another study not too long ago about what likes do for the person who's receiving them. Like, oh, I like this post. And if a specific person likes that, it's kind of, they say it reaches the same part of the brain that it would if you were, I don't know, participating in some sexual act.
Right.
It reaches that same part of the brain like that. It's, what is it? Stimulates that same part of the brain. It's like, how are likes on Facebook doing that for us?
Same thing in your brain as that, or it was eating a favorite meal, or it stimulated that part of your brain, and it's become this, I don't know, succubus of life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially, like, one specific person. Like, it's so weird to think that, one, that we're spending money on this study.
Right.
Like, our tax dollars, people.
505-338-3700, the phone number. Yeah, good old Facebook. Coming right back, we got some Civil Twilight, we got some Unifier, and Clay Schroff from the Aspen Project joining us.
Shortly.
Maybe talking a little bit about what Planned Parenthood's new plan of attack is. On pro-lifers.
On parenthood.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. So we'll talk about that coming back. I can't believe we're where we're at. But yeah, it's coming up in about 10 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, Steve-O and Mitch.
In the morning.
Static Radio. Sleepy Turtles, A Reason to Hope. Static Radio. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is just after 8 o'clock, which means time for our dear friend Clay from the Aspen Project.
That's right.
I want to thank all the people who listened to traffic and avoided the roads as I made it here way early.
Good job.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, it's crazy over here on Osuna and Jefferson.
And I feel like it's going to be that way for a long time because they're digging up the roads.
They got a bunch of dirt up.
Yeah, I don't know.
They dug deep.
I don't know what they're doing, but it's intense.
It's a prepper thing.
Oh,
they're
prepper.
Putting a bunker under the ground.
Oh, I'm like, really?
A bowling alley.
I started believing you. Oh, okay, that makes sense.
It's Underground Railroad.
Oh, man.
Get it.
Clay Schroff from the Aspen Project in studio with us. You're here every Thursday in the 8 o'clock hour.
Thank you so much for having me every Thursday.
Of course.
Now, you texted me this week with some really rad news, and I did not share it with Mitch because I was waiting for today because I wanted her real reaction on the air.
Apparently, I'm no good at acting. So, what's the news?
Acting?
Well, yeah, I've been like,
we had one of your listeners call me up.
Yes.
And she's probably listening now. What an awesome young lady. And she is decided to keep her baby. And now we're just deciding if she's going to keep her baby or if she's going to bless a family through adoption.
Yeah.
And this is what I told her. This is the cool thing. Now that you've chose life, there is no wrong decisions. Mm-hmm. Now there's just making the better decision for you and the baby.
Yeah. Amazing.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
So you guys are a platform that are reaching people. And we get calls like that all the time. I need to start texting you guys more.
That's amazing.
You know, we meet with people, we meet with their families. A lot of times we meet with parents
And
have to sit down and just let them know that life's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's what the Aspen Project is all about, just letting these parents know or soon-to-be parents know that there's help out there.
Anything that comes with imprinting Christ on a child's heart, and the cool thing is, this young lady has chosen life. So one way or the other, this child will have a chance of having Christ imprinted on their heart. So,
so
I'm
cool.
Stoked.
Oh, it's amazing.
Now, part of your ministry, part of what you guys do is you actually will go out, hang out outside of abortion clinics. You will talk to these would-be mothers before, after sometimes.
You know, unfortunately, a lot of times it is after.
Yeah.
But, you know, we team with 9 Month Ministry, which is run by Pastor Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what Aspen Project really does. We team with other organizations. But Pastor Lamb has started 9 Month Ministry, and it's to really raise awareness to some of the issues that come up with abortion and, you know, it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, not only is it a sin, not only are these other things, but, you know, they're really making people aware that a lot of these, it's not safe. It's not sanctioned.
Right.
It's,
Well, Planned Parenthood, which takes our tax dollars.
Yes.
Has, you know, repeatedly said, no, we're not, you know, we're not radically pro-abortion. However, this week, actually, they're going to be hosting a panel discussion at the University of Cincinnati, Ohio, to kick off a counter-protest against pro-life activists like yourself, sir. They will be featuring 12 billboard-sized photographs of lady parts.
Hello, Modi.
Feminist and LGBT student groups are the primary sponsor of the protest, which includes a display they're describing as, quote, re-envisioning the female body. Basically, they're going to rock photographs exposing these ladies' nude bodies posed in a position similar to a gynecological exam. And the idea, this is an actual quote, quote, the idea and focus of the demonstration formed in response to the gruesome images brought to the University of Cincinnati's campus by the Genocide Awareness Project. Their billboard-sized photographs equated mutilated fetuses with genocide victims in an effort to shame women, comparing reproductive choice to Holocaust. So, of course, they saw these photographs of fetuses post-abortion, which were posted up on billboards. I don't necessarily agree that it was a shaming tactic, but it showing the truth. The truth hurts.
What do they call? What do they call the picture? They call it disgusting. What do they call it?
Gruesome images.
They gruesome images. The fact is, they're real.
Yeah.
That women need to know that when that baby is taken or quote ripped out of them,
right?
That's a baby that. Those are real images. There's some shock value in that. Now, we as the Aspen Project don't hold signs up like that.
Right.
But, like, we team with Defending Life, and they're awesome. They're doing wonderful things. Their pictures are pretty graphic. And let me just say this. When we've been confronted by people saying, why do you have these pictures? They're disgusting. You're trying to... Well, because it's real. You need to know what you're going in for.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of... shock value that comes with that people want to know they're just going in for this easy procedure. But it's not. They're taking a life. And I think those pictures really do say that. So they're calling it what it is. It's real.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And unfortunately, the retaliation, quote unquote, is coming. Man, this is coming from Planned Parenthood this time. They're getting on board, which is another reason why I feel the argument needs to be had about whether or not they deserve tax dollars, because that's unbelievable to me. I mean, they continually say, no, we're not, come on, we're not pro-abortion, we're
unbelievable.
We're here to help, and we're just, and yet they are fully part of this rally and hosting a panel discussion. I don't even want to say the name of the panel discussion on the air. But basically this counter-protest against pro-life activists.
It's unbelievable to you, but I wonder how many people are actually advocating for this to go through and happen.
Right.
Well, let's look at why that is. First of all, they don't have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Right.
So their eyes are blinded to truth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what the Bible says. Number two, let's really look at this. I mean, we as Christian community, quote, the religious part of the Christian community, we hold signs out there that say horrible things. It's so easy to get us.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, it's so easy for them to take a camera out there and just wait. Because we could go 360 days, and two of those days, we have some radical idiot out there holding up a sign that says God hates, and suddenly, and they can... They turn that over to the media. The media explodes it. And now we're radical people standing on the sidewalk out there with a bunch of hate. Where the truth is, the other 360 days of the year, we have somebody standing out there with love and letting those girls know that we love them. And if they just had an abortion, we still love them. And trying to share the love of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So as Christians, it's really, really important. All it takes is one day.
Yeah. And one person or one action.
So we need to be very, very careful as Christians on how we protest.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. It's crazy. We still need to be out there, though, that's for sure. Yale University had their annual sex week last week.
What does that even mean?
Yeah, I can't even get into details about most of it, but basically this Ivy League school rocking their enthusiasm for over-sexualizing students. Got into conversations about incest, bestiality, consensual pain during sex, whether or not they've ever accepted money in exchange for sex. The workshop was titled Sex, Am I Normal? With Jill McDevitt, who has a PhD in human sexuality. She described herself as a sexologist. And among the seminars during Sex Week was a discussion about masochistic acts like those described in 50 Shades of Grey, which is one of the most popular books out right now. And it's all basically about the sexual revolution.
Well, you know, sex has become a recreational sport.
Oh, yeah.
And let's be honest, if we as Christians, we've remained so silent because we don't want to mention the word sex. You know, God designed sex for a married couple and wants us to enjoy it. It's made to enjoy. It's a God-created thing. And as Christians, so few pulpits are talking about sex in an appropriate way.
Right.
And when I mean appropriate, it's not to keep it quiet. You know, so the world, of course, they're going to pervert.
Yeah.
I mean, we live in a society where we embrace pleasures. You know, yeah. We have the pursuit of happiness where God promises us joy.
Yeah.
I can't even talk today. But, you know, the truth is that's where we need to go with that. We need to say God designed sex and he wants us to be joyful and even in despite of our conditions. Not yeah. to mention, let me just say this, we are in the times of Noah. You know, all the political statements that all of us can make. The truth is that we're drawing closer and closer to the end. It's going to get a lot worse, Christians.
Yeah.
So you better teach our children and you better hold hands with the Christian neighbor beside you because we're brothers and sisters and it's about to get really, really bad.
Yeah. It seems like it's getting uglier and uglier and uglier. The more we talk about it, I'm still a little shocked by Planned Parenthood and this display they're going to be going with these explicit nude photos to protest pro-life signs, pro-life, you know, activists. 505-338-3700. Static!
I just had a quick question.
Yeah.
When I used to work in Albuquerque, and then I'd always drive by the Planned Parenthood place on Amazon or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, they'd have pictures of the babies after they take them out black and dead. Would that be sketchy and draw bad?
This Planned Parenthood group is saying they're counteracting is those specific graphic images because they call them gruesome images. The Genocide Awareness Project was doing that over at the University of Cincinnati, and so they had these billboard-sized photographs with these mutilated fetuses. And comparing it to the Holocaust, and so of course Planned Parenthood says enough is enough. You know, let's counteract this with some explicit nude photos of women in, you know, gynecological positions. And I don't understand how that's going to counteract or what that is. But the idea is re-envisioning the female body and how it's our body, it's our choice type thing. And here's my body, which is just unreal to me. But
Those graphic images you're talking about may sometimes get us a bad name. It's not necessarily where we stand, but we stand with people who have those graphic images. And let me just say this. It has prevented women from going in and having abortions. So if it's working, they're doing it in the name of Christ. If you don't like it, they're real.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you as a listener, but the people, Planned Parenthood and so forth. And here's the other thing. They're calling, this is pornography. If you're going to have these type of images up, no matter if you call it science, if you call it education, you call it art, pornography is pornography. And yeah. We live in an age where it's going to become the norm.
Man, yeah. 505-338-3700, the phone number. Clay Schroff from the Aspen Project with us. And, dude, thank you for coming in and hanging out with us.
Yes.
Hey,
hope to see you guys. Just real quick, we are having our... We're getting our kids forever on the 11th of this
Yay.
Month, so
yes.
keep us in prayer.
What else is the 11th in your family? It's like a big day now.
It's our wedding. I mean, I married my wonderful bride, and I also have a birthday. Skylar turns 14, so
nice.
We're stoked. What a great day.
It's going to be an awesome day.
Very cool.
So thank you to the listeners. Also on the 22nd, we're going to stand outside the late-term abortion clinic with our high school students.
Okay.
We want as many people to join us as possible between 3:30 and 6 o'clock.
Okay, on the 22nd.
And I'll post it on our web and our Facebook.
There you go. All right, AspenProject.org. For more information, you can always go to our Facebook page, Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio, and get details there as well. Clay Schroff from the Aspen Project. Thanks, man.
Keep us in prayer, guys.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Thanks for the platform.
It is 8:17. We're a couple minutes behind schedule, but let's take care of some traffic.
There is a lot of construction on Osuna and Jefferson, and it's pretty much impossible to navigate through. So good
Have
luck.
Fun.
The roadway is reduced to one lane. Pretty much the same situation on Unser at I-40. It's very difficult to, maneuver through there as well, and that's your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvert campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. That's 505-338-3669. Don't forget, coming up at 9 o'clock, Master Jarrett from Calvary Knob Hill at the Lobo Theater. He's going to be in here for Theology Thursday. You can get your questions in now. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or studio@MyStaticRadio.com. Some come win for you. C-Bone Mitch.
In the morning.
Static. Good morning.
Hello.
C-Bone Mitch.
Good morning.
Welcome to the show. Go.
Okay, so we've been talking about studies all morning.
Pretty much.
And like, oh, Facebook study, this is a study from Stanford, and this is a study. Okay, study results. A study shows that results from many studies take almost 2 years to be released. Which means that the study that I'm reading about right now is about 2 years old.
Stop it.
Yeah. So how...
So data's coming back incorrect or what?
Yeah, so whenever we get mad about like, oh, Rice Krispies or Cheerios, study says, and we can't get mad at that because... It's about 2 years old, and those tax dollars were spent way long ago. Like, we can't be mad about that because that happened 2 years ago.
We can still be mad. Why does it take 2 years to get results for a study back?
There's no answer to that.
This is the worst!
So, I thought that was funny.
That's really it? That's what you... Wow.
Yeah. I said, huh, that's funny. And you said, okay, we're going to talk about it. Go. That's what you said.
It is Thursday morning. Pastor Jarrett coming in studio.
Ah.
Momentarily. Of course, he's got to get through all the crazy traffic first.
Good luck.
Yeah.
No, really, good luck. There's crazy construction on Osuna and Jefferson, right where Pastor Jarrett will be...
Trying to travel
through. There's also a construction work on Unser at I-40 down to one lane right there. Also, the right lane is closed on Wyoming South at Alameda, and that is your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast, right here on the Calvert campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. That's 505-338-3669. Hey, if you're a local business owner and you love Static Radio, you'd like to be part of this year's morning show, you can sponsor said traffic as well. All you got to do is send us an email, studio@mystaticradio.com, and I promise we'll get it to the right person.
Yes.
Be part of the ministry. We're going to have another opportunity to be part of the ministry coming up soon. Got a lot of stuff going on.
Yes, we do. We have.
Excited.
It's going to be a busy springtime.
It really is.
I'm kind of excited.
Lots to do.
Apparently, we should start chewing gum, though.
Really?
Yes, because... It helps with our reaction time. Chewing, whether it's gum, sunflower seeds, or just a mouth guard, it improves your reaction time and alertness, and it could take athletic performance to the next level. So if we count radio as athletic, then it works. A team of Japanese researchers asked 17 people to watch a video screen and react to visual cues by pressing handheld triggers. Each person completed the experiment multiple times, sometimes while chewing gum and other times empty mouth. The results... Chomping on gum improved the participants' reaction by 7%.
That means I should start playing Halo with gum in my mouth because I suck at that game.
Yes, your gameplay will improve by 7%.
Nice.
Approximately.
Sweet. Then I'll be like 17% good.
Yes.
Because I'm terrible. I die a lot.
It's funny to watch.
I haven't played in like weeks and weeks.
That's why you suck.
I try something and then it's like,
if you're not good at something right away,
I quit and then I just throw it to the side and say, I'm trading this in for something different.
Wow, you're a really good role model for your kids.
Yeah, that's how I do.
But 7% chewing gum. I'm gonna get some gum.
You think it'll improve the morning show?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. Okay. We need some gum in here.
Oh my God.
Big League Chew, preferably.
Big League Chew? What's that?
What?
Is that a baseball term?
You've never seen that stuff?
No. What is that?
It's like in a pouch. It's like, you know, like chewing tobacco, how it comes in like a pouch?
Yeah.
So they start kids early, what? And in Little League...
and they have to pack it?
It's a big old pack of... You've never...
Do they really pack it?
Well, no, but it's like...
Oh, my gosh.
Are you being serious right
now? I'm being super serious.
You're blowing my mind with your lack of knowledge of this gum.
Not with bubble gum.
It's a baseball... Gum. It's like a baseball gum. It's from Little League, and you always had it, and you felt cool, because it was like in a little foil thing, and you'd fold it over, stick in your back pocket, and then it was like, yeah, Big League Jew, and you'd have like this wad of like... grape or...
Oh, no. I grew up in Moriarty, so we just had, like, real chew. I think you're getting yourself confused with someone else. Okay.
Static!
Hey, can I put in a question for Pastor Jarrett Early?
Yes.
Early? We're going to have to, like, write that down. You're making us, like, work.
Don't worry. I love old-fashioned writing things down. What's your question?
I was just wondering about what the Bible has to say about baptism.
Oh, yeah. We actually talked about that yesterday on Shock Therapy Live as well.
Yes, and you can find that podcast at our website, mystaticradio.com, and then look up the Shock Therapy Live.
Yeah, had a question yesterday about baptism, but yeah, we'll talk about that again.
And can you play Feed the Machine by Red?
Possibly, yeah.
Oh,
I'll
maybe.
Have to dig that up. Got to be honest, Mitch is actually not a fan. We'll play Paper, Rock, Scissors, and if I win, we'll play it. How's that?
There you go.
What should I do, scissors or rock? What do you think? Just tell me. Just whisper it. She can't hear you.
You should be like the little kid that...
Spock.
Dynamite?
Lizard.
Yeah.
All right, I'll go dynamite.
All right.
Thanks. All right, cool. Okay, ready? Paper, rock, scissors.
Rock, paper, scissors, actually.
Paper, rock, whatever. Ready? One, two. What's that?
That was paper.
Paper doesn't cover dynamite. I was dynamite. Dynamite blows everything up?
But you just... Your hand just disintegrated, and it didn't even come near the paper.
Oh, well, let's do it again. Ready?
That was going to be paper.
Oh, and that was scissors. And scissors cuts the fuse of dynamite.
Yes.
Dang it. Looks like you win.
Scissors is the only thing that could beat dynamite.
Well, yeah, you just cut the fuse, obviously. I mean, what else would you do?
Is this dynamite?
Oh, I don't know. I just exploded my hand like I was...
So I win.
Fist bumping somebody. And
so I win.
There's an explosion of awesome.
You need to chew some gum for that reaction time.
Fine. I'm going to go get some gum. I feel like I need to go find some for you.
Oh, yeah. That's what we were talking about. I've never heard of that. I've never even seen that.
We'll find it. It's like Little League season, so I'm sure I'll have plenty.
Aw, you have crazy practices right now, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, your kids do,
pretty
and you
much
are there.
5 nights of my week now. Because Luke's got practice 3 nights a week, and Jack is twice.
You know what I'm going to get for you?
Huh?
Sunscreen. Sunblock.
Yeah, I could use some of that.
Because you're about to get crazy sunburned from being outside all the time.
I'm just
going to
go orange. I'm going for the orange look.
With that stash, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah,
and then you need
great.
To get some of those sunglasses that turn that nasty tint color when you're outside. And it's
yes.
Oh, that dude's a total creeper.
Yeah, that'll be great for Little League practices.
Yeah. In fact, they won't even allow you on the field. That's how you get out of it. Like,
you know, I want to be there, right? You know, I enjoy Little League. I enjoy being at my kids' games and practices and stuff.
Tell me that in 3 weeks when you've gone to 8 practices. Okay?
All right. Taking a quick break. Coming back, Pastor Jarrett and Theology Thursday.
That's right.
Steve-O and Mitch.
In the morning.
Static Radio. The Hawk and Ferris.
Why do you always say things like that right before we go on air and
I
can't respond?
Put your arms around me. Static Radio. Put your arms around me, baby. No?
Mm-mm.
Sugar Ray? Anyone?
Yeah, I know what that is.
Yeah. All right. It is Thursday at 9 o'clock, which means...
That's right.
Time for Theology Thursday with Pastor Jarrett.
We're just having a super theological discussion about how male robins are the pretty one, or the pretty ones.
That's right.
Super same with peacocks. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah?
But yeah.
And is there anything else?
Beta fish.
Beta fish, yeah.
Yeah, the male.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And humans.
So not true. So not true.
I'm just kidding. So Pastor Jarrett from Calvary Knoxville at the Lobo Theater in studio with us this morning for Theology Thursday. How are you, man?
It's awesome. It's great to be here, man.
It's good to have you. I feel like I haven't seen you in years, and yet it's only been a week.
I know.
So,
but it's spring, and spring is awesome, you know?
It's that
good
time.
Yeah, good time of year.
It's the time. In fact, Sunday, don't forget to set your clocks ahead.
Forward.
Spring forward.
Mm-hmm.
Losing an hour, one of my least favorite times. Because then the morning show Monday is
you lose.
Awful.
Yeah. You lose sleep.
Awful! I'm just going to apologize ahead of time for Monday.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be fantastic. So, or it's going to be hilarious because we're going to be so loopy from exhaustion.
That, oh, yeah.
You know, waking up at 3 then, 3:30.
Especially that sunrise service Easter morning.
Oh, yeah.
That's...
Oh, yeah.
That's difficult.
That's the
oh,
best. Yeah. No, it's a... Yeah, but it's awesome.
It because is, the sunrise is perfect.
Yeah, it's just fun.
Perfect time.
It's a fun time. Times. Me and Steve Ryman, we rarely get to, like, interact together. We simulcast usually and hang out and broadcast.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
Fun time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Normally. So, anyways... Yeah. In studio with us. We already got a phone call this morning, actually.
You did?
In our 8 o'clock hour towards the end, mm-hmm. we had a dude call and say, can I get a question in for Theology Thursday early? And we said, sure. In fact, if you'd like to get a question in, facebook.com/mystaticradio, or, you can also send us an email, studio@mystaticradio.com.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is. He called in asking about baptism. Hey, could you guys talk a little bit about baptism, elaborate on it?
Sure.
Which was interesting because just yesterday we were talking about this on Shock Therapy Live with, Pastor Nate, but it seems to be a hot topic right now.
Yeah.
Baptism. So let's get into this bad boy.
Yeah, let's do it. Well, you know what? Actually, the Bible speaks of a variety of baptisms and, you know, a few of those. I think of what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, that we were all baptized into Moses. You know, the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, they were baptized into Moses.
In the Red Sea, when
that's
it parted.
Right. No, that's right.
Really?
Okay.
Well, yeah. That is. I'm like, because it parted and they
that's
were all
right.
under the water.
Yeah.
But like,
well, they kept them under.
I just saw the History Channel
time.
Bible show. I know my Bible.
Shoot. But then I think of, I think of what Jesus said, you know, in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus declared all authority has been given to him. And then he commands his disciples, go therefore and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And so you think about, you know, just the importance of, you think about the triunity of God.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Jesus is speaking, and he is equating baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So there's some validity there, of course. Now, I also believe, because the Scripture does make it clear that baptism is not a means of salvation, obviously.
Right.
I mean, we have a classic illustration of the thief on the cross. Today you'll be with me in paradise, Jesus said.
Yeah.
And he, so be it. He was. And he obviously didn't have time to get off the cross and be baptized.
Yeah.
But baptism, we're commanded to be baptized. So it is a commandment. And so you think about that. And then I think what Paul elaborates on in Romans chapter 6, which is such a great passage. If you, haven't been baptized, this is a great passage to read because this is the spiritual aspect of it.
Okay.
Paul says this. He says, for we have been united together in the likeness of Christ's death. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that our old man was crucified with him and that the body of sin might be done away with. We are no longer slaves of sin, for we have been baptized into his death. And I love that because when we think about what Christ did, and of course, as he, died for our sins, we are baptized into his body by the Holy Spirit, as Paul says also in 1 Corinthians. And then also here, we're baptized into the death of Christ. So the water really is a symbol of a watery grave being buried and then making that public declaration of an inward change of our own heart and coming out of that. So very significant, So
I know Pastor Nate yesterday had touched on the fact that culturally speaking, when John the Baptist was baptizing, when they were doing this culturally at the time, that was their quote unquote sinner's prayer. Like that was their confession.
Sure.
That was their outward sign. That was their, repeat after me, And so I know that there's a lot of debate and talk about, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven without baptism. You must be baptized. Right. Oh, well, no, you don't need it at all. And then you go on and on and on, but simply stating.
Well, I think too, and that's a good point, Steve, but oftentimes when we think of baptism, we just think of water. But water is one aspect. In Acts chapter 1, it says you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. There's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's a baptism, as we talked about, coming out of Egypt with the children of Israel. There's also baptism in the Spirit. As far as the body of Christ, we're all baptized to be united. And then, of course, the baptism of fire, which John spoke of, that Jesus would do. And I think in judgment, when we go to see the Lord, we pass from judgment into life. There's the refining process of fire in and of itself. And so there are varieties of baptism. Generally, it's spoken of about water, but it's a lot broader than that.
Right. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you bring that one up from Acts chapter 1. That's always an interesting one because just this week I was having a discussion with a friend over a song that was... it's called Holy Spirit. It's a really popular Jesus culture song right now. And it's a worship song. And it's talking about Holy Spirit. We invite you here. The lyrics just talk about basically inviting in or ushering in that the Holy Spirit. And so the debate that went back and forth was, well, wait. Why do we need to usher in the presence of the Holy Spirit? Because Christ let us know that he was leaving the Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells within us. So why, if we are believers, would we need to ask him to, would we need to invite him in if he's already there? And have we missed the point of the Holy Spirit in its entirety? Because, you know, as we ask for the Holy Spirit to, you know, hey, you're welcome here, bro. We welcome you in. Oh, wait, you're already here because you dwell within us. So, you know, there's that kind of quote unquote debate, if you will, of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean?
Well, I think it's really clear. I think the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so often misunderstood. If you go right to the scriptures in Acts chapter 1, it's clear what Jesus says. The primary purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, let's just set aside the gifts for right now.
Okay.
This is what Jesus says in Acts chapter 1. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me. The primary aspect of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so that we could have power to be a witness to Jesus.
Right.
Then to Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. But with that said, in John chapter 14 through 16, Jesus declares that, and again, I think about the Holy Spirit being, you know, active in the believer's life, and he uses three prepositions.
Okay.
He will be with you. He's with the world.
Mm-hmm.
When you become a Christian, he is in you.
Right.
And then the upon experience. So there's three aspects, three elements of the Holy Spirit. With, in, and upon. And those are really clear about what that is.
Okay,
for
cool.
instance, as an unbeliever,
right.
The Holy Spirit's in the world, and he's convicting the world of sin, of judgment, right. righteousness, and all that. So he's with the world, pointing them to Christ.
Right.
But on the other aspect, when you come to Christ, he comes inside of you. So that second preposition is affected. And then finally, he talks about, in Acts chapter 1, a clear indication that it is, in a way, if you will, different.
Right.
He comes upon you to be a witness, to have the power to witness. Here's the killer thing about that, is that as a witness, it shouldn't be like I can contrive, you know, the gospel, to, like I got to go share, and it's like a burden in a sense. If you have the witness in you and upon you, you're going to naturally,
right.
as a natural reaction, speak and talk about, you know, the person of Christ. It's going to be a natural result. Then as you apply the fruits of the Spirit and, of course, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they function. It's a valid thing. And the Holy Spirit's still working in that way in the church, I believe, without
Word.
A doubt.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. 505-338-3700, the phone number. You can also chime in through Facebook, facebook.com/mystaticradio. It's Theology Thursday with Pastor Jarrett.
Yeah.
And 9:16 now. We're a minute behind.
Oh,
we should
we
probably
are.
Take care of some traffic.
If you didn't know, there is a lot of construction on Osuna and Jefferson. And there's also construction. The right lane is closed on Wyoming, south at Alameda, and more construction work just pretty much all over Albuquerque, specifically Unser at I-40, reduced to one lane there. It's also a bit crazy. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast, right here on the Calvary campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. That's 505-338-3669. It is Theology Thursday. You can get your questions in through Facebook, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Or, of course, give us a call, 505-338-3700. Pastor Jarrett from Calvary Knob Hill at the Lobo Theater hanging out with us. I'm excited, dude.
Awesome.
It's good stuff.
Good stuff.
Speaking of good stuff, brand new band to Static Radio. They're called Saren. The song is We Will All Be Changed. Steve-O and Mitch.
In the morning.
Static Radio. Song's called Unsound. You can find that on their final record,
Forever
Anthology.
well, I say forever, but then like things like Led Zeppelin happen, they get back together. Whatever,
yeah.
So mm-hmm.
we'll see. Goes 10 years and they're like, we broke.
Flatiron. <iron.
laughs> Hey man, you can't say that.
Yes, I can.
They're not broke. They're Reese is like super awesome,
I know.
Successful male nurse.
Male nurse. I know.
I love that movie.
They actually all are doing pretty good. They just want to make music.
They are doing well, Mitch.
Pretty good.
Ugh.
It's pretty cool.
Grammar, bro. Grammar.
Whatever. It's not grammar day.
Joining us in studio, Pastor Jarrett from Calvary Knob Hill at the Lobo Theater. And we've been having quite the conversation off air, so we thought we would clue everybody else in. So we're gearing up. It is Super Bowl season for Christianity.
That's right.
That's Easter. Right. Let's be honest.
I love that.
It's the Super Bowl. It's amazing. And so Easter coming up, sunrise service at University Stadium. Now you... As a campus pastor at Calvary Knob Hill at the Lobo Theater, you're actually teaching down at Knob Hill.
Absolutely.
At the Lobo Theater for Good Friday.
Yeah, I'm stoked
about that.
Or
Easter Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So is cool.
Well, you know, think about having Good Friday down, you know, in that area with that community and all the businesses. I mean, just imagine you could just walk in. You know, it's an hour long. You come in, you know, we focus on the cross and what Christ has done, and then, you know, are united through communion. And then from there, I mean, we have Sunday, the following Sunday, of course, with Easter, and then a service. So,
yeah.
So I'm stoked.
There
it's great.
Yeah. That's rad. More information, calvaryabq.org. You can find out about all the different campuses, including Calvary Knob Hill at the Lobo Theater. It is Theology Thursday, and we got a question on Facebook.
Yes, this one's coming from Dalton. He says, in Matthew 8 and a few other places, after mm-hmm. Jesus heals someone, he tells them not to tell anyone. Why is this?
Good question.
Well, I think if you look at Matthew 8, one of the things you think about is when Jesus did heal people and told them not to say anything, I believe oftentimes it's very practical that as his fame began to spread, that he needed accessibility to travel more so, and that, you know, mankind has a way of putting, you know, Christ on a throne here on this earth, and Christ made it clear that his kingdom is not of this earth. And so I think that's one of the elements, but in this passage specifically, I think it's worthy to note that it was a leper who came to Jesus and said he wanted to be cleansed. And Jesus said, I am willing. And he said, be cleansed. But this is what he said. He said, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Here's the thing about that one. A leper obviously wasn't allowed to worship. They were an outcast, is a type of sin. But Jesus, instead of saying, you are healed, he says, you are cleansed, which takes it on a whole nother level of the interior of man.
Yeah.
And Jesus had the ability to cleanse this man of his sin. So it was more than just a healing. What Jesus didn't want to happen is that this man go and tell other people, according to the law of Moses, if you were cleansed as a leper, the rightful thing to do, according to the commandment of the Lord, was to go present your own self, your body, to the priest as a testimony that I've been cleansed. Jesus had not only the power to heal physically, but he cleansed this man internally, and that was what that passage is speaking of. Go to the right place. Give honor to God rather than to boast for this man not to fall into pride or to... You know, for people to look at him, but rather go offer it in the rightful way to honor God. And, you know, you think about healing today. So often when someone is prayed over, you don't want that group of people or that person who prayed for that sick person to receive the glory.
Right.
Matter of fact, you want their praise to go to God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There it is. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. It's amazing. God's perfect timing. And I, as you mentioned, you know, that had to be part of it was the timing of everything as far as Jesus' ministry. Could you imagine if Jesus, were to have waited till the year 2013, to appear the first time?
Right.
Everybody'd be tweeting, there'd be YouTube videos of his healings, it would be like this overnight crazy, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Sensation of, that's why I think it's so pertinent to bring up the scripture, of Thomas when it was like, mm-hmm. you know, you've seen and you believe, but blessed are those who have not seen.
Yeah.
and still believe.
That's right.
And I think that's part of faith is if Jesus were here today and there were YouTube videos everywhere and tweets and Instagrams of, dude, this, he spit on his hand, touched this dude's eyes, healed, boom, you know, like, and that was up on YouTube, it'd be quote unquote easier, possibly. Yeah. I don't know, because many people saw Jesus, doing all of these miracles, in his Father's name and, yet still walked away because it was hard.
Yeah.
It was difficult. So maybe not. Who knows? I don't know.
Well, even when Jesus, you think about how he multiplied the fish and the bread and then even those that followed him, they followed him, and he even pointed out, you don't follow me because you want life in you, but you came because of the food, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus just, he has a way of looking at the motive of mankind. He knows the heart.
Yeah.
And he has the power to change the heart of mankind. That's what's so awesome about the Lord, is that he has that ability to change the heart. And, rather than, you know, and he tests our motive. Why do you worship? Why do you come to me?
Yeah.
Is it because you want something from me for your own benefit? Or do you really want to just honor me and give me praise and worship?
Yeah.
And the Lord always challenges, you know?
Absolutely. That's one of the things I'm talking about on Sunday.
Awesome.
For the God of food.
That's right.
That's
you're teaching this Sunday.
That's the illustration right there is in John 6. And that's the idea, because let's be honest, we love us some food. Try going to a Golden Corral at noon on Sunday. You got to beat the Baptist there, bro, because I'm telling you, the line is a mile long because we love us some food.
So true.
Yeah, and as soon as he decided the next day, like, hey, bro, I'm not going to rock your Golden Corral buffet today, most people are like, oh, I'm out. I guess I got to go fish. All right, I'll see you guys later. 505-338-3700, the phone number. It is Theology Thursday with Pastor Jarrett. You can also send us your questions through email, studio@mystaticradio.com. Got a question on Facebook?
This one is coming from Donna. She says, if someone that professes to be a Christian is slandering you, creating dissension, and fostering hate and anger among family members, what should your response as a Christian be? I have tried to make peace by talking one-on-one with the person, but everything that I say is used against me at a later date. Is it best to turn the other cheek and pray for the person and the relationship?
Good question.
You know, I think when someone does that as a Christian, I think you need to confront them. And Jesus says that. In Matthew chapter 18, he says this. He says, you know, if your brother sins against you or your sister, go and tell that fault, you know, to them. And if he hears you or she hears you, you've gained a brother. See, the thing is so often the person who has done the wrong, we're waiting for them to say, I forget, you know, I'm sorry that I did that. Mm-hmm. But rather, the Lord says that the opposite. If you've been sinned against, go and bring that up to that person. Be bold and say, hey, look, my feelings were hurt. You know, this is what's going on. Because Jesus makes it clear that there needs to be that connection and fellowship. And you know, then he says, if that person does refuse you and says, forget it, you know, I still feel the same way. Then he says, then you take another person with you. There's a process to do this. And it's found in Matthew 18, verses 15 through 20. So you can look that up. But we are the ones, no matter what happens, you know, if someone's wronged us, we most likely you can't wait for that person to come and say sorry. You need to go to that person and say sorry yourself. Hey, did I do something to offend you? And what is it? And then take what is true and deal with that at that moment.
Right on.
Yeah.
I was trying to find the verse. I can't remember exactly where it is, about those that are causing dissension in the church and basically like have nothing to do with them to their shame.
Oh, Paul speaks to that. Mm-hmm.
And I was digging for it in my iPad Bible of awesomeness.
Yeah.
But yeah, I post Matthew 18 basically. Mm-hmm. Like if they're still choosing after all of that to cause strife and dissension and to slander you and to come against you with their idiocies.
Well, yeah, you know,
it has to shame them, like, to have nothing to do with them.
Yeah.
I'm serious, to their shame. Like, you know what? Then you cast them out. You're like, peace out. I can't hang with this dissension, with this. I think a lot of times we as Christians believe we have to always just be so passive and just this person is saying hateful, evil lies about me, but God bless them. I'm just going to bless them. Just going to heap coals of blessings on them, and that's going to make them, you know. And that's not always the case, man. There's some wolves, and there's some people who claim Christ that are just words I can't say.
Well, you know, Jesus is a great example. Of course, when the Pharisees came against him, He actually said you're a whitewashed tombs. You know, you keep all these details of the law, and you think you know God, but Scripture speaks of me. You've missed the whole point. And I think there is a time of it's necessary to speak up. You know, we have the Holy Spirit in us, the power of God Himself to live the Christian life and to really discern what is right and wrong, what is light, what is darkness. What is, you know, moral and what is immoral. And God has allowed us to be that salt in this world.
Right.
And then when salt loses its flavor, it is cast out and trampled underfoot because there is no power in that person's life. So there's nothing wrong with going to the person that has wronged you or whatever and pointing that out to them and being bold.